prepare for a truth revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free. It is Truth Revolution. I'm Dave, and with me, of course, is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Hey, I am Jeff Pipo. I'm glad to be here this morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I got something for you.
You
we
do?
Totally missed it last week.
What?
Last week was our 50th show.
Really? Was it really?
It was. I counted it out this morning. I'm like, we're coming up on a year.
That's awesome.
I was like, that was this. Today's our 50th show.
That was last week?
That was last week.
So we're celebrating our 51st anniversary today.
51st anniversary.
What is 50th? Is that silver or something like that?
Let's not do that. I'm not that old yet.
I should have bought you a silver watch or something. Gold? I don't know.
But anyway, yeah, I thought that was really kind of a cool tidbit.
Wow, 50 shows. That's that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
So, or 51 today. So, yeah. Hey, I was on vacation a couple weeks ago down to Table Rock Lake, and I was water skiing and jet skiing and... We go out there every couple of years, and usually when I jet ski, I crash. Like, we get going pretty good, and my brother and I, we get racing, we hit one of these corners, it just dumps me in the leg, jet ski rolls over.
Did you get any air? I know you like
getting
some air.
Yeah, what we do, it's totally, I don't think illegal, but totally not recommended, not smiled upon by the authorities. Where the we have a boat, and someone in the boat drives like 15 miles an hour, so you get this really big wake right behind it.
Gotcha.
Then you drive up pretty quick on the jet ski behind it and launch off that wake. It's pretty sweet. It's pretty cool.
You're crazy.
Yeah. Well, and so you know, you try all the water stuff. You do water ski, and you know Jesus impresses me because he could walk on water.
Right. Without the skis.
But what I want to know is, could Jesus water ski?
I
mean, hell, you can walk on water.
Come on.
But can you ski?
God of the universe.
Can you slalom ski?
I bet he could.
I don't know. I think it takes practice. Right. Of course. Look, if God wanted to, he could ski perfectly. Right.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if Jesus wanted to, he could jump a jet ski over Mount Everest. Right.
Right.
He wouldn't. He didn't even need me to be driving 15 miles an hour in a boat to create a wave for him. That's just the nature of God. Yeah. He could do it with no boat. He could do it with no. He could jet. Well, no, you'd have to have a jet ski to jump a jet ski. But you see, this is the nature of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to be doing here on the show for a little while is we're going to be talking about the nature of God.
Right.
Normally we talk about God's attribute, or normally we talk about God's evidence for his existence.
Right. So are we going to be stepping away from the scientific stuff for a little bit?
Not really, because we're also going to jump in and talk about God's timelessness. What does eternity mean? How could God exist forever? Is it theoretically possible? The nature of time, all that stuff. That's coming next week. This week, we're talking about God's independence. All right, there's two different types of attributes. There's a communicable and incommunicable attribute. Now, this sounds like a big word, but everybody knows it, okay? What's a communicable disease?
Something that you can spread to somebody else.
That's right. And so God has attributes that are communicable, attributes that we share with God.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Okay, like God exists. Well, that's a communicable attribute because we also exist.
Right.
But there's things that are less shared with humans that God has and we don't have, or that we have just minuscule compared to God.
Right.
For instance, okay, one of his incommunicable attributes, one of the things that we don't share with God, is God's omnipresence. He's everywhere all the time.
Right.
You and me, we're only in one place at one time. I mean, unless we tape record our show and then go somewhere else and do it. You know, then we're in two places. But that's not really us.
We ought to try that sometime.
It's just a tape recording of our voice. But God is actually everywhere all the time, right? So now we're getting to know the depths of God. And this is important. Because if we don't understand the depths of God, so this is why we want to do this show today in the next few weeks. If we don't understand the depths of God, we're either going to learn and understand God for who he really is, or we're going to create a false version of God in our own heads.
Right. And I've done that before. I mean, because, you know, when you're a kid or when you're a young adult and you start thinking about God in the, I'm going to smash ants today kind of God, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up thinking that that's how God was. He was the little kid with the magnifying glass over the ants. You know, burn, suckers.
Well, that's right. And, we always make the joke, oh, Jesus was white, huh? You know, well, right. And you go to Africa and they have Jesus was black.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to the Middle East and they have Jesus as a Middle Easterner. Yeah, everybody tends to create God in their own image. Mm-hmm. And so what we want to do is find out who God really was.
Right.
The Greek gods are a great example of this. They're basically humans exaggerated. Actually, I'm going to talk about that in church a little bit this morning. But, okay. I mean, every Greek god was just a flawed human trait taken to the extreme. It's anger, right, or sex or what have you.
Right.
For instance, Prometheus, he stole fire from Zeus, uh-huh, okay, and gave it to mortal man. So Prometheus, he wanted to help mortal man, so he did it in this gigantic way. He gave us fire, man, mm-hmm, and he stole it from Zeus. And so Zeus punished him by having him bound to a rock while a great eagle ate an eagle would eat his liver every day.
Right.
Yeah, only to have it grow back again so that could be eaten the next day. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. It's gross. It's awesomely gross. But you see, the invention, the theft, the punishment, the disagreement, the liver, it's all just like humans, except it's exaggerated.
Right.
Here's another one. Hermes, a Greek god, was the love child of Zeus and a nymph.
Oh, no.
All right. The first day alive, he invented a musical instrument, and by nightfall, he'd rustled the immortal cattle of Apollo. Congratulations, he's a musical cowboy god.
There you go.
The exaggerated humans, right? There's affairs, there's music, there's invention, there's cattle rustling.
Yeah.
It's just on a gigantic scale. And that's what these Greek gods are.
Sounds like a Western soap opera.
It does. And so remember what we're saying is we can either learn, understand God for who he really is, mm-hmm, what he's taught us, or we can make some fake version of God in our own hearts and our own minds. Just, hey, this is what I think God is. Well,
right,
well, I just believe.
Right. Which sounds fun, but really when you get down to it, I mean, it's
you're making
not
a false god.
Yeah, you're making a false god, and it's going to end for you poorly.
This is what all false religions do.
Uh-huh.
Every single one of them. They come up with a god that they want to exist or that they think exists, and they talk about it. The Apostle Paul in the Bible, he was in Athens, and he was waiting for his buddies, Timothy and Silas. And Acts 17:16 says this, "While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols." What's an idol? Well, it's a
false god.
God.
Mm-hmm.
That false version of God they created in their own minds. Paul's dismayed. He's frightened. He's like, why are these people doing this? So he told him about Jesus and the real God. Listen to this. Acts 17, 22 to 31. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you're very religious. As I walked around town and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship is something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you.
Right on.
The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything." So Paul decides to tell them about God. And the first thing he does is teach them about God's independence. Now this is so cool. Here's what I want everyone to remember. One of God's incommunicable attributes is his independence. God is completely autonomous and sovereign. Any false god is completely dependent on the people who made him up, right?
Right.
But the real God is independent. He doesn't need anyone.
Right. And we are totally dependent on God and on the things that he made. Oxygen, water.
Yes.
Food.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for bringing that back to the cosmological argument for the existence of God. All right. Acts 17. We've done a show about that in the past, uh-huh, by the way. Acts 17:24. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands.
Right.
The point Paul's getting at here, God created everything that exists except himself, and he lives outside of our time and space. He's saying, look, I'm telling you about the Lord. He made everything that exists in heaven and earth. The smallest bone in a baby's body, the largest galaxy, billions of times bigger than the sun. It would take us billions of years to get there. God made it all, and he made it all by saying, exist.
That's awesome.
I mean, this is an incommunicable attribute. We don't share God's independence.
Mm-hmm.
He's independent. He made it all. Here's the main question. What did God use to make all of this? Well, he created this ex nihilo.
Out of nothing.
Dude, how'd you know that?
Well, I've taken some classes.
Yeah, he made it out of nothing. I want you, anyone listening right now, grab a handful of nothing and make a galaxy right. or a planet uh-huh. or an ecosystem or a tree or even some dirt.
Right. And when you say nothing, you're not talking about a handful of air.
No, I'm talking about nothing.
Not that you would be able to build a galaxy out of nothing.
That's
or
right.
out,
I'm
out
talking
of air.
Make a vacuum in space, mm-hmm. get nothing, and then make something out of it.
Right.
That's what God did. From conception to birth, we depend on other people. We depend on water or air. But the real God's entirely different. He's independent. It was just God, and he decided to make the universe. Now, remember the Greek gods. We're just trying to wrestle God down to our size.
Right.
We're saying, oh, they're just like us. No. Acts 17. He's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. God's so independent, people, that he doesn't need anything from me or anyone else. Or on the contrary, we all need him, as Dave pointed out earlier. Now, someone might ask, well, but doesn't God want me to give him offerings? I mean, doesn't God want me to serve him?
Well, of course.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
But he doesn't need it.
But serving, yeah, I mean, he doesn't need it. Serving God and giving to God is for our benefit. Mm-hmm. Psalms 50 says, God's talking, he says, for every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine, all that is in it. I love that verse.
Right.
If I were hungry, I would not tell you.
Well, not like we could do anything about it anyway.
No, I mean, of course, it's just a hypothetical situation. Mm-hmm. If I, God, were hungry, I would just go to my own fridge. I'd cook something up myself. Right. I'd make it. I'd just say, exist food. I mean, what are you going to do about God's hunger? It's similar to, I just, the picture I get in my head is an NFL player begging a newborn to cook a steak. You know, I mean, like 350 pounds, super strong guy.
I'm hungry.
He's like, baby, give me a steak. I mean, no, that's just completely ridiculous,
right.
Isn't it?
It is.
God, giving to God isn't for God. I mean, Psalm 50, every animal, which is currency in the culture that Bible verse was written in, every animal already belongs to God. Every dollar you have, it's already God's. Everything is given to God, or given to us by God,
right.
Including the opportunity to do good, to give financially, to learn to trust Him. You know, when you don't give to a church, it's not like God can't go to the movies now. He's not, oh man, they didn't give their offerings.
Right.
Well, I guess I can't go see that new movie by Tom Cruise, because God's a big Tom Cruise fan.
Yeah.
It's,
he loves Tom Cruise.
No, it's that you've lost the opportunity that God gave you to use his money for gaining a reward from him.
Right.
God owns everything. He doesn't need your stuff. He doesn't need you to... He doesn't owe you anything.
Right.
He's got total independence.
Yeah, and there was a song by Keith Green way back in the day. To obey is better than sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need our sacrifices.
Nope.
He just... I mean, we need to obey him for ourselves.
That's right. Because it's God gives us reward when we obey God. When
right.
we know God, it's a reward in itself, actually. God holds our universe in his hand. Let's talk about time for a second. The past,
uh-huh.
the present, the future. He invented that.
That's awesome.
I mean, in recent history, we discovered through the ontology of time and space, time exists when space and material exist. Did you know that?
Right.
God made time. He made space. God made material stuff. Before he made material stuff, time didn't exist. He existed for eternity before we did. He existed for an eternity without the universe. God existed without time. He doesn't need time. He
right.
wasn't thirsty. He doesn't need matter.
And you really can't count. When we're talking about the eternity, we're not saying that God has existed for a long time. He just is.
He just is.
Because where God is, there is no such thing as time.
This should
you
be
don't count time.
Yeah, this should be making your minds
mm-hmm.
melt.
It did the first time I actually realized it.
God existed for all eternity outside of time with no time.
Wow.
How long did he exist before the earth began? That's you can't it's
yeah.
not a it's not a that's a nonsensical question.
Right.
He was. Time was not.
Right.
Now, some philosophers, we can get into this awesome debate about whether or not there is succession without time, and can you actually have a progression of events and how that works? Can one thing happen followed by another thing without time actually existing?
I never even got that deep into it.
And we're not going to either.
Now
this
my
morning.
Brain's melting.
Your brain should melt. But God at one time existed and the earth did not, and
mm-hmm.
he chose to make the earth exist. So God really, I mean, contrast that to other idols or religions today, Greek mythology. You know, Zeus, I mean, he was horny. Hermes
mm-hmm.
rustled cattle. You know, they needed each other. They needed mankind.
Right.
The real God needs nothing.
Right.
Absolutely nothing.
Right. I want to read. He would exist without us.
Oh, yeah, totally. I want to read you a quote by A.W. Tozer. He says, "Man, for all his genius, is but an echo of the original voice, a reflection of the uncreated light. As a sunbeam perishes when cut off from the sun, so man, apart from God, would pass back into the void of nothingness from which he first leaped at the creative call."
That's crazy.
Hey, if you're in a room right now with light, I just want you to turn the lights off, make it dark in there, and remember that God doesn't need us. We need him. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about God's independence and the concept that God created us because he was lonely.
Oh, no.
Does God really need us?
Right.
All right. We're going to be right back. Hey, check us out, truthrevolution.tv. If you're interested in donating to the show, you guys make this thing happen. So check us out online, truthrevolution.tv. Past shows, you can donate, all that sort of good stuff. And also come to Revolution Church this morning at 10:15 a.m.
About half an hour from now.
Yeah, just about half an hour, a little bit longer. But 10:15 a.m., hopefully we'll see you at Revolution Church and truthrevolution.tv.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. Truth Revolution. And we're talking about the attributes of God.
That's right.
His independence today.
He don't need you.
He doesn't need anything.
That's right. TruthRevolution.tv is our website. Go ahead and jump over there. Grab some past shows. Donate. Mm-hmm. Make this show happen. And thanks for everyone who gives. We really appreciate that more than you know.
It keeps us on the air.
You are making sure that people can hear evidence for God. You're making sure that people can hear things like God's independence.
Right. So basically, this is your ministry.
That's right. So people sometimes say, well, God needs us. Now, when people are grieving, when someone dies, you know, we do a lot of things that are emotional, not logical. And one of the things we say is, God needed so-and-so.
That's why God must have needed that person.
God must have needed them. Now, it's really popular to say that, but it's just, you know, it's just not true.
Right.
He doesn't even need us for emotional support. Everything we are comes from God. I mean, whether we're here or in heaven with God, it's only our perspective, really, that changes. God is everywhere. God is independent. He doesn't need us at all. Look, God was fine without us. John 17:24. Jesus is talking. He says, "Father, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." So here, listen. Before the world was even created, God the Son, that's Jesus, God the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and God the Father all experienced love from each other and friendship with each other.
Right.
See, Jesus says, look, in John 17, I just want to point this out again. Jesus says, I want people to experience the love, the glory that you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. The Father loved Jesus before the creation of the world. Do you understand how amazing this is? Even when God was alone, he wasn't lonely because he's three in one. We call that the
Trinity.
The Trinity.
Right.
So, in fact,
it's not just a character on the
Matrix. No, it's in fact God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are perfect. Mm-hmm. They are perfect, and they have different minds, and they have relationship with one another, and they loved each other. They had friendship with each other. They were perfectly happy with each other before they created the world. They did not need us for anything. They did not create us because God was lonely. They did not create us because they wanted to hang out with someone. In fact, God the Father and Jesus are so perfect that their relationship and friendship, listen, was more perfect than any human relationship.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love that. So,
well, and we're talking about attributes of God today. Let's do a Bible contradiction.
Okay, I'm ready.
Bible contradiction.
I know it sounds like we're kind of interrupting things, but we're talking about an attribute of God here, a supposed attribute of God. Certain passages in the Bible tell us of God's fierce and enduring anger. Other passages tell us of God's patience and love.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to figure out here what's the deal. Numbers 32:13, the Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until the whole generation of those who had done evil in his sight was gone.
Okay.
Numbers 25:4, the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of these people, kill them, and expose them in broad daylight before the Lord so that his fierce anger may turn away from Israel.
Yeah, he was mad, huh?
Yeah, sounded like it. However, Psalms 103:8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love.
Mm-hmm.
Psalms 35:30, verse 5, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. What gives there? Is he slow to anger, or is he quick to anger, and does it last forever, or is it only for a short while?
Well, one of the most important, biggest things we always talk about when people bring up Bible contradictions is read the whole Bible. Read it in context, and don't just pull things out of there. And look, I am a complicated person.
Yes.
You cannot pull one event from my life or one sentence of my speech and define that as me. You have to look at the totality of who I am to really understand me. It's the same thing with God. God's even more complex than we are. You can't just say, well, God's nice, so he'll not ever do anything not nice. And you can't just say, well, God's mean, so he's not going to do anything not mean.
Right.
No, you have to look at the totality of the character of God. God is loving. He's also just. If someone does wrong, he's going to punish it.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone asks for mercy, he's going
to
give it.
Right. And justice has a lot to do with those attributes of God.
That's absolutely right. And that last verse you read, what was it?
For his anger lasts only a moment. It's Psalm 30, verse 2, verse 5.
Yeah, Psalm 30, verse 5. I mean, that sums it up right there. His anger lasts only a moment. Like, if you're going to pull one verse out, I think that one would explain it fairly well. God is a merciful, loving God, and he does get angry when we do wrong, as he should get angry when we do wrong. Just like any good judge would be angry when someone violates the law.
Mm-hmm.
But his anger lasts only a moment, and he judges rightly, and he's angry, and he judges us in a way that is appropriate because he's God, but he's also merciful. So these people where God really judges seemingly harsh, he has had patience with them again and again.
Right.
For instance, the Israelites, the story you shared in there, it's not that God just, you know, was going along, he was fine with the Israelites, and they did one thing wrong, and he was like, you know what? I just don't like you anymore. Squashed them under his thumb. No, that's not what he did at all. He did dozens of miracles for these people. I mean, miracles that would make us be astounded.
Mm-hmm.
And he had visible presence. He had a cloud and a fire of pillar that represented his presence in front of these people day and night. And still, they said, we still don't believe you, God.
Well, didn't he call them a stiff-necked and obstinate people?
Yeah, which is what they were. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you remember the movie The Ten Commandments, you remember all the miracles that were in there. Maybe the parting of the water. They walked across the sea. If you remember all the things that he did to Pharaoh, all the plagues that God brought on there, the amazing miracles, the manna that would fall from the sky, and I mean, so many miracles. And these people, something would go just a little bit harsh for just a little bit of time, and they'd immediately be like, God hates us.
Right.
God's wrong, blah, blah, blah. And God was like, man, it's been years, and I've done everything for you people. And you know what? You still say that I'm bad, I'm not going to help you. He's like, enough is enough. And even then, he didn't just squash them under his thumb. He said, that's fine. Yeah, I'm going to let you live, but you're not going to go to the promised land. You're not going to get the big reward.
Right.
You're just going to live a normal life. So, you know, it's, and I think that's the answer for Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
Actually, that really is a good way for us to think about salvation, you know, heaven and hell. I mean, God is patient with us right now. I mean, he's waiting for us to repent, to believe in him, to follow him wholeheartedly. But there will come a point where he's going to say enough is enough. And we are not going to live forever if we don't believe, don't trust, and follow him.
Right. So, and there's a lot of people that are like, well, why doesn't God come back now? Well, God's waiting because he is just, and he's waiting because there's people that aren't saved.
Yeah. And so if you haven't decided to follow God right now, you've got a moment right now where you can try to make that decision, where you can just say, God, I need you. I need you to forgive me. I need you to help me. And I've been wrong. You're independent, God, but I am totally dependent.
Right.
And
well, we're flawed.
We are totally flawed. You know, in fact, I'm just going to take a moment. I'm just going to pray for anybody right now who's experiencing that. So, God, I just want to pray for anyone who maybe is needing you and who hasn't really confessed that yet. I pray that you would help them to realize their dependence upon you, a totally independent God. We need you. You created us, God, and we don't want to be stiff-necked. You know, we don't want to be stubborn, God, and act like you're not there. We believe you're there, God. So if there's anyone here right now who believes that God is there but hasn't been living like that, I pray that you would, I would ask you to just confess that to God right now. Just pray to God and just apologize. Say, God, I want to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and you know, if you did that, let us know. We want to help you follow God. So, you know, let's so go to our truthrevolution.tv website and let us know. Because, man, if you're choosing to follow God, that's huge. That's awesome.
Or you can just go ahead and come to church this morning. You could,
yeah, 10:15 or Revolution. We're talking about God's love this morning, actually, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
So his love is huge. Okay, so back to the show. I took a serious detour there. Sorry
yes,
about
did.
That. All
That's
right.
Okay.
So we talked about the Trinity. God has total fellowship with himself. He doesn't need us for relationships. This is kind of the point God's making to us. Look at Isaiah 43. He says, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who's called by my name, whom I created for my glory. Look, we got to recognize people that all the good we do and all the beauty we see is designed by God. It's accomplished through God's strength and intended for God's praise. You and me, we were made for God's glory,
right,
to honor God. When we look up in the sky and we see the Milky Way and 100 billion stars, our mind goes fuzzy with incomprehensibility. We say, praise God. He's huge. That's the purpose for why God created us. I explained more in depth on my series called Worship. So if you go to the Church Revolution, the Revolution Church website, you can find the series that are called Worship, and you can listen to that. But he doesn't need our praise. But number one, God is so good. He always does what is good. And two, sharing beauty is good.
Right.
So God sharing his beauty is good. So he created us to experience his beauty because that is a good thing to do. And that's why God created us.
Right. And then he placed us right into the perfect place where we could see
absolutely
all his glory in the universe. We can see the Milky Way. We can see other galaxies when we use the Hubble.
That's exactly right. So if anyone ever wonders, why are you here? You are here to witness and explore God's amazing creation and beauty. And you are here to exhibit it as well, to be part of it. In addition, our purpose is also to bring joy to each other. God delights in us. He delights in you, Dave.
Right.
Listen
on
to Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He'll take great delight in you. He'll quiet you with his love. He'll rejoice over you with singing. God's going to rejoice. Why? Because of you. So much that he sings. I mean, people, think about this right now. God's looked at your life, and when you do right, when you follow him and love him, he sings about you. He sings this. He's like, oh, I just want to sing. This person's awesome. He delights in you. Independent God who needs nothing from me thinks I'm so exceptional that he sings with delight.
That's awesome.
That is great.
And you know what? I never even thought about God actually ever singing.
Yeah.
And the thought of that, actually, I mean, because he invented singing.
Yeah, he invented music. Yeah. God doesn't need you, but at the same time, he takes joy in you. I mean, it's like a little puppy. We don't need puppies,
right?
But we love puppies.
Who doesn't love puppies?
You know, babies. I mean, I have a baby mouse right now, little girl. We don't need babies, but we love babies. You pick up, their fingers are so little, and they laugh, and they, oh, no. Acts 17, before I get all gooey about babies, I'm a tough guy, I don't get gooey.
Whatever.
Acts 17:29, therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. Look, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he's appointed, that's Jesus. He has given proof to all this men by raising Jesus from the dead. And we've talked about that. We've proven Jesus is risen from the dead. The fact is real. A real God is coming to judge the world. So y'all better repent, right?
Yeah.
What's our beginning point? We have to learn and understand who God really is, or we create a false version in our own minds. So let's stop with the false version and start learning about the real God who doesn't need you, but who loves you and is happy about you.
Right.
Come on over to Revolution Church this morning, 10:15 a.m. Just wear what you're wearing now, jeans, t-shirt, whatever.
Yep. About 15 minutes, you don't have time to really change.
That's right. Just get jump in your there. Car and come over. Revolution Church. We're on South Street.
Mm-hmm. So 1111
West South Street. And you can go to truthrevolution.tv and find some information how to get there as well. So check us out, truthrevolution.tv. Come on over to Revolution Church this morning. Hear about God's love for you. We're on South Street across from Ace Hardware. If you know where Kmart is, it's right in that same general area. Revolution Church, God loves you, but he doesn't need you, but he sings over you. Have a great week.